Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 73 to close at 18,332. The S&P 500 Index up 8 at 2,139. NASDAQ Composite up 27 at 5,193. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 3 basis points at 1.86%. Oil down 3 cents at $44.86 per barrel. Gold down $5.80 at $1,276.40 per ounce. America votes. The Justice Department's Civil Rights Division has been deployed to polling sites in 28 states, including Arizona, to monitor the election, 5 more than it monitored in the 2012 election. Most of those states will receive Justice Department staff who have no statutory authority to access polling sites as a result of the 2013 Supreme Court decision that struck down parts of the Voting Rights Act. I can say from my own experience at the polls today that I encountered fairly long lines. If you are still heading to the polls, take a bottle of water and patience. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time, about an hour from now, we start seeing several of the major eastern states close their polls, but it will take some time for results. Here are the states you need to watch: New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Florida. Moving west, keep an eye on Michigan, maybe even Ohio. Further west, watch Nevada, and even Arizona is considered in play this year. If Clinton wins Pennsylvania, where she has a slight lead, she picks up 20 electoral votes. Pennsylvania is a firewall state for Clinton. If Trump pulls out a victory in Pennsylvania, then the race gets exciting. Trump would still need an upset, such as Florida and Michigan. If Clinton holds on to Pennsylvania and also picks up Florida, which was considered a dead heat but based on early tracking looks like a probable Clinton win, she picks up 29 more electoral votes, and that should seal the deal. And if Clinton wins Pennsylvania, Florida, and North Carolina, that's it. Game, set, match, turn out the lights, it's done and done. Of course, elections can be squirrely, so we wait and see. The down ballot will also be interesting. Democrats need a net pickup of 4 seats to control the Senate in the event of a Clinton win, and 5 seats if Trump wins. Here are a few matchups to watch. In Nevada, the race is between former Attorney General and Democrat Catherine Cortez Masto and Republican Representative Joe Heck. That's a dead heat. In Pennsylvania, between Democrat Katie McGinty and Republican Senator Pat Toomey. Dead heat in what is the most expensive Senate race in history. In Missouri, the race is between Democrat Jason Kander and Senator Roy Blunt. In New Hampshire, it's Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan and Senator Kelly Ayotte. In North Carolina, Democrat Deborah Ross and Republican Senator Richard Burr. Those are all considered very close races. In Indiana, former Democratic Senator Evan Bayh is trailing Representative Todd Young. In Illinois, Democratic Representative Tammy Duckworth will unseat Illinois Senator Mark Kirk. And in Wisconsin, Democratic former Senator Russ Feingold in a rematch against Senator Ron Johnson. That's expected to win a closer race. Republican Senator Marco Rubio expected to win re-election in Florida. In the House of Representatives, Republicans will hold the majority because, well, math is math. Democrats enter the night in control of 18 governorships while Republicans hold 31. There are some tight races, but again, math is math. There are other important measures on ballots. According to polls, recreational marijuana legalization measures are likely to pass, albeit narrowly, in 4 of the 5 states at least that are on the ballot. Arizona might go down to defeat. However, California, Maine, Massachusetts, and Nevada are expected to pass the measures. 4 other states, Montana, North Dakota, Arkansas, and Florida, have ballots proposing at least some form of medical marijuana legalization. 4 states will be voting to raise their minimum wage. If passed, Arizona, Colorado, Maine, will incrementally raise minimum wage to $12 by 2020. Washington State will consider $13.80 an hour by 2020. Nationally, 29 states and Washington, D.C. now have minimum wages above the federal level of $7.25 an hour. In recent years, since 2000, every ballot initiative that's been put in front of voters to increase the minimum wage has succeeded. Gun control-related measures in four states are expected to pass, opinion polls show, after gun safety advocates poured a massive amount of money into backing the initiatives. In Maine and Nevada, residents will vote on whether to mandate universal background checks for firearm sales, including private handgun transactions. Voters in Washington State, meanwhile, will consider allowing judges to bar people from possessing guns if they pose a danger to themselves or to others, such as accused domestic abusers. In California, a referendum would ban large-capacity ammunition magazines and require certain people to pass a background check to buy ammunition. Repealing or maintaining a repeal of the death penalty seems to have the most support of any ballot initiatives across the states on the ballot in California, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. While most of us will get our election results from TV, the major networks, and the major cable news outlets, but if you have cut the cord or wish to enter into a dialogue rather than just shouting at the TV, enter social media. BuzzFeed will be live streaming coverage through a partnership with Twitter, and Facebook Live is teaming with ABC News. Beyond that, there are countless online sources. And the impact of social media has been important in this election. Despite Twitter's ongoing business problems, the ability of a single tweet to shape political conversation and drive media coverage has never been greater. New analysis from the Pew Research Center suggests that our political interactions on the Internet may actually change some minds. Some 20% of social media users told Pew they had modified their stance on a social or political issue thanks to a viral piece of content or internet screed from a digital acquaintance. Another 17% say social media helped to change their views about a specific political candidate. Also, there is convincing evidence that digital reminders to vote have increased voter turnout, perhaps by the millions. The bad news is that not everything you read on the Internet is true. Some of it is just out-and-out fake, even deliberately fake, but very difficult to debunk. The survey by the Pew Center also found that social media fuels widespread polarization and partisan animosity, and the associated debates turn off more people than they attract. In other news today, the Labor Department's Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, or the JOLT survey, showed more job openings, almost 5.5 million. Meanwhile, hiring declined slightly to 5.08 million, and just over 3 million Americans quit their jobs, leaving the quits rate at 2.1%. Companies are limiting the number of job openings while also refraining from firing staff. The hiring figures, meanwhile, consistent with the slowdown in payrolls additions this year, as the labor market approaches full employment, the 1% rate of dismissals the lowest in records back to December 2000. There were 1.4 unemployed people vying for every opening in September, compared with 1.9 people when the recession began at the end of 2007. CVS Health warned that it stands to lose 40 million prescriptions next year as deals signed by rival Walgreens Boots Alliance with other participants in the drug supply chain shut out CVS stores. The restricted networks caused the country's largest drugstore operator to cut its profit outlook for the rest of this year and next year. Valeant Pharmaceuticals posted a $1.2 billion loss for the third quarter and wrote down the value of the Salix business it's trying to sell. Valeant cut its annual profit forecast by about 40%. Priceline Beats, the travel booking site, earned an adjusted $31.18 per share as revenue jumped 19% to $3.69 billion. In other earnings news, Toyota's operating profit almost halved in the second quarter. A strong yen crimped the value of overseas earnings. Crédit Agricole outperformed after beefing up its balance sheet and doubling its third-quarter net profit. ArcelorMittal warned of weak profitability in the fourth quarter with higher coal prices hitting margins. CBS has hired Goldman Sachs to advise on a potential re-merger with Viacom. The companies originally merged in 2000, split at the beginning of 2006. Wall Street Journal reports the companies have created special committees to look at the idea of getting back together again as National Amusements, the holding company for Sumner Redstone that owns voting control of both. U.S. Commerce Department has formally opened a China steel tariff dodging probe. A petition filed in September by ArcelorMittal, Nucor, AK Steel, and U.S. Steel alleged that Chinese steelmakers shipped metal to Vietnam, made enough changes to it that they could then classify it as Vietnamese, then shipped it to the U.S. under lower tariffs. Seven state attorneys general have joined a federal antitrust probe of the planned merger between DuPont and Dow Chemical. The U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee is urging federal antitrust regulators to launch a probe into whether EpiPen maker Mylan broke the law by preventing schools from purchasing competing allergy treatments. The request comes just a few weeks before the committee is slated to convene a hearing to scrutinize a pending $465 million settlement that Mylan has said will resolve claims it underpaid rebates to state and federal Medicaid programs. The SEC is probing whether big banks have been mishandling securities in the market for American depository receipts. The agency already sent subpoenas to four depository banks, BNY Mellon, Citigroup, Deutsche Bank, and J.P. Morgan, as it examines whether the institutions broke controls designed to prevent market abuse and tax fraud. Yesterday, stocks racked up their biggest one-day gain since March. Today, the markets were in wait-and-see mode. In the next few hours, we should know. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 73 at 18,332. The S&P 500 Index up 8 at 2,139. NASDAQ Composite up 27 at 5,193. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.